Good morning. Welcome to Monday, May 14. I'm Neil Stave. I'm sitting in for Bill Arnold, who's returning from Hartford to live broadcast there Thursday and Friday, and part of Triple Espresso going on last weekend and on again, I think, this weekend as well. We're going to talk to Patrick Albanese, who's been Triple Espresso as well, but 18 years or so. Rebecca, good morning to you.
Good morning, Neil.
And happy Monday.
Thank you.
Speaking of, you know, getting the day started, 1804 on this date, the Lewis and Clark Expedition left St. Louis, Missouri, on a mission to explore the Northwest from the Mississippi River to the Pacific Ocean.
And we can all be glad that none of our day's work is as hard as what they'll have to face in the coming days.
Now, that was a trip. I don't know if you like travel, but that was, wow.
I like travel, but not by Conestoga wagon.
No. And how long can you canoe? And wow.
That's a good question. Yes.
So, Vaseline was first sold and became registered in 1878 in the state. I'm sure that if you're doing a lot of canoeing, that might come in handy on the hands after a while. All right, so one of the big notes in this date, of course, is the modern state of Israel being established. And later today, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Looking forward to the conversation with Dr. Richard Land here in the second hour. We've got Ruth Kramer joining us to talk mission news, and we'll get updates on a number of important areas around the world here in a few minutes. Patrick Albanese will be joining us as we talk moms. So did you wish your mother a happy Mother's Day?
I did indeed. We had a fun grill out sort of dinner, and which is good because then she doesn't have to cook or do dishes even. So that was the big gift.
I told my wife that, you know, after she, you know, prepared a nice meal, says, honey, just leave the dishes. You know, you can wash them tomorrow. So anyway, no, that's not.
Meal.
That's not true. That's not true. Calvin Trillin, who is a newspaper columnist for years, said, the most remarkable thing about my mother is that for 30 years, she served the family nothing but leftovers. The original meal has never been found. All right. He's an acquired taste. Patrick Albanese is coming up in just a minute, and we'll get filled up on Headhunter News in just a moment on the Early Morning Late Show.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could
while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain.
Well, it's 8 after the hour on a Monday morning, and that means Patrick Albanese joins us, and looking forward to talk about the news, life in general. Patrick, good morning to you. How are you?
Well, I'm a little tired. I mean, I decided this weekend to give that that 4-minute mile a shot. So I heard so much about it. Sure. I gave it a shot. 37 minutes.
Okay.
But now, getting back up the driveway, that was quite, because you know your quads are a little bit on the burnt outside.
Sure.
Everything's a challenge. Have you noticed that? Like in fitness, they go, here's the 30-day challenge. Well, what the 60-day challenge? How about the 4-minute ab challenge? Everything's a challenge. How come they just don't make it easy? Why can't they use simpler words like, this is going to be a cakewalk? In fact, we're going to take a walk and get some cake.
Now, that would be a challenge I'd be up for.
Yes, it would be. Well, I don't know if I'd call it a challenge then. Mission accomplished.
Yes.
You survived Mother's Day.
Yes. Well, I think your mom has passed away, right?
And like her mother before her, she got to a point where she said, you know what? I think I'm done. I'm ready. And then off she went.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that's a genetic thing, but my grandmother did it that way. She said, I'm ready. Hmm. And, a short time later she was gone, and, I miss her, of course, terribly. My mom's birthday is May 19th. And so, you know, always growing up, it was that Mother's Day, birthday, you're going, they're within days of each other. And so you got the double duty of, I got to get something for both days. You know, you know, be like, hey, mom, you know, half those flowers, those are for today. The other half. But now on a positive note, you could be, you know, Mother's Day flowers are very pricey.
Yes.
They kind of see you coming. They're going, mm-hmm. You got nothing, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You forgot to plan again, did you, buddy? Well, here it is the day before Mother's Day. That'll be $90. But, of course, 2 days after Mother's Day, you could walk into a florist and say, so you got some leftover flowers, do you?
Sure.
I'll give you a buck for those. So I could do that, buy the flowers a couple of days after Mother's Day and show up saying, did I forget to deliver these on Mother's Day? Well, it's kind of a Mother's Day birthday combo. So.
You know, it rings solid to me, but then, you know, I did go visit my mother, who's soon to be 92, also a birthday in May, and we're at the point now where every time I visit her, I try and take some stuff home from the closets or under the, you know, the cupboards or something, where, you know, she kind of collects stuff, you know, and so you're like, well,
Mama, you still using this Nordic track? Yeah. Come on.
So I felt like it was a pretty good day because, you know, spent all the time with her and managed to, you know, fill up the trunk with a couple of bags and boxes of stuff. So it was good all around.
I hope it all fits. I put a little a post on Facebook, you know, talking about when I was 18, I said to my mother, you know, I'd like to hop in my car and drive from Chicago down to South Florida, about 1,400 miles, and visit Uncle Mike. I haven't seen Uncle Mike in years. I'd like to visit my Uncle Mike. And my dad had been gone for about 5 years at that point. And so my mom said, well, okay, we'll drive safely. And, you know, call me when you get there. And it takes, you know, it took about 3 days to get there. So a couple of my sisters responded. They said, she did that? I had no idea. Now, this is 40 years practically after the fact. I had no idea. Evidently, I was treated differently as a child in the family because my sisters are stunned. They said, she did that? She let you do that? I was like, well, you know, you all know I went. They're going, yeah, but we assume there was a fight. I go, no. No fight. Now, I was the sixth of eight children. And, you know, for all I know, my mom was going, well, I just got to lighten the load here a little bit. Go. Get out of the house. Or because being the sixth child, I got to watch the five before me make so many mistakes. I was a tremendous student of errors. Every mistake that my brothers and sisters made, I did not duplicate. Not a single one of them. I go, nope. Cross that off the list. Don't do that one. And so I was a trouble-free child, problematic, trouble-free. My wife couldn't believe it. She would meet my mom and say, come on, did he do anything? She said, no. So if there are any parents there or kids that are listening to the show, if you do right up to the age of 18, you're free.
Sure.
Yeah.
Start planning that trip to Florida now. That's what I'd say.
Start planning that trip. Sure. Your mom will, and we didn't even have cell phones, obviously, back then. Like I say, 3 days later, you'd arrive in Florida and say, can I borrow the phone? And your uncle would say, yeah, leave a buck on the table. It's long distance, you know.
My parents would often, mother, father, more would say, you know, if you're going to Florida, say, hey, you should call so-and-so. He's like a second cousin of mine. And I said, well, he's on the other side of Florida, so it would actually be long distance. I could just, well, call him from home. But I never quite didn't see the logic of that. My mother taught me logic, you know, like if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me, kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
Sure. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to freeze that way. So I don't know if I ever
So did that's
that.
What happened.
Sure. That explains a lot.
This is like radio now, isn't it, Neil? I remember it was about 11 years after my father passed away. I decided, you know, I was 13 when he passed away. And I thought, well, I'm going to go to Columbus, Ohio, where he grew up. And I'm going to find out some things about my dad that, you know, I don't know, and spend some time with his brothers and sisters. And I remember sitting in a restaurant and a guy walks up to me and says, you're Jim Albanese's son. I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Mm. Yeah, I haven't been to Columbus, Ohio since I was 11. And I'm like, I am Jim Albanese's son. And evidently I look a lot like my dad. I didn't know that at the time. They said, oh, you're, you know, and these guys knew my dad when he was younger. And they were like, your dad was one of the greatest men that I ever knew in my entire life. And then the guy walked away and I thought, well, I guess my work is done here. I think I need to know everything I need to know about my dad.
Nice. So, yeah. Good. Yeah. It was a good, good weekend for tributes. Hope you were able to celebrate your mom kids do something nice for your wife this weekend?
Yes, my kids did something that resembled a construction project where dad takes a couple of pieces of wood, dad takes a whole bunch of nails, dad takes some paint, dad paints the wood, the kids say, I want a heart on mine, the other one says, I want a star, dad nails a bunch of nails into a board in these various shapes, paints everything, and then Dad strings a bunch of yarn around to create these rather fancy projects. And then Dad steps aside and says, look what the kids made you.
Yes.
And it was so much fun. It really was, because I thought, you know, this is Mother's Day. Now I'm kind of getting the hang of this.
Yeah.
After all these years, this is part of the fun. It's about getting the kids involved in it. And they just so desperately wanted to do it. But, you know, my house, you can't use tools.
Sure.
Just because I did when I was three. You know, we did the proper mom celebration. And you said you cooked for your wife but left the dishes? Is that what?
No, that wasn't actually true. So I think we got, the three words that every woman loves to hear, let's eat out. So we did that.
Well, the nice thing about doing the barbecue is that when you're done is you can just toss everything onto the grill and up it goes.
Sure.
Have no idea, by the way, how long it takes ceramic plates to burn on the grill.
I was thinking, you know, with the sort of modern anniversary of Israel, that we're kind of sort of going back to the old sacrifice system there for a minute there. But anyway, that's what's happening in West Des Moines. We're going to take a break and come back. We'll actually talk maybe a little bit about news or not in a couple minutes. So stick around. It's the Early Morning Late Show. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnn. After the hour on a Monday morning, it's the Early Morning Late Show, and Patrick Colvinay's on from West Des Moines talking about the news, some of the headlines from the weekend. Patrick, Iowa,
you guys covered Lewis and Clark, right? I heard
yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, you know, by the way, back then you had to self-finance trips like that, and so they were actually a comedy juggling team. Lewis would occasionally do some stilt walking, and
sure.
Then they sold Hair Restore Tonic, and that helped them raise the money for the big expedition. Rebecca probably knows this.
Well,
she's a student of history. She'll
know it. I bought the tintype.
Yes. See?
I'm ahead of the game today.
Sure. Yeah. Do you still use it to do some printing press type of work?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Get out the ink roller and the quill pen.
Sure.
So you got the original handbill from the... Lewis and Clark's Hair Restore Tonic.
Well, it said it was the original.
Right.
They are also suspicious?
They coined the word phlebotomy, which I don't know. I still don't even know what that is, but they coined the word.
Good.
It's such a great word. Andy, I'm sorry, Neil, you were going to say something.
No, I was just...
Serious.
These are the kind of history moments that you know, you don't get in school, I think, even if you were well behaved.
They almost sound made up, don't they? They almost sound made up.
just about. Oh, I don't know. This wasn't made up, but it caught my attention. Kirstjen Nielsen, the Homeland Security Secretary, told colleagues she was about ready to resign last week, was in the cabinet meeting, and the president ran on a little tirade and directed it at her because not enough being done at the borders. But I don't know. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you're in a meeting and the leader or the director of the meeting decides to point you out and single you out for a little tirade?
You know, I am no. I have not been on the receiving end of a public tirade. It's on my bucket list, of course.
Of course.
Have at it, Neil. Go ahead.
Sure.
This is a public forum. Go ahead. No, I always wait with any of this Trump news because, A, there's always people that guy's ready to resign. Ah, that's it. Another, you know, so there's always this portrayal of this turmoil. Although a lot of the times you say, well, it seems pretty believable because he's often very vocal.
Yes.
But Twitter tends to be his platform, you know, and I really, my thought about a Trump, and you can maybe play this back in the Wayback History Machine, is he doesn't really dislike somebody till he gives you a nickname. You know, once you're Crooked Hillary or
sure.
Little Marco, you go, okay, yeah, that's it. But, you know, like Robert Mueller, you know, people say, oh, Trump's wanting to fire him. He hasn't given him a nickname yet. And
true.
I say, I reserve judgment. Till there's a nickname on that guy, I don't believe anything. But once you have been, what's the proper word for that?
Christened, maybe?
Yes, christened, yes. Once you have been emblazoned with a nickname, then I think, okay, now Trump wants you gone. He wants you out of his way because you are now officially, you know, I don't know if this is proper to divulge this in public, but you are Ricketts Neal. You don't have the Ricketts anymore, do you?
No. No. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Speaking of the Mueller investigation, Senator Grassley doing a little more digging, right?
Yeah, we do like Senator Grassley here in Iowa. And he's, to make a long story tedious, and I believe it's too late for that, the way that this whole Mueller thing is going. But this Peter Strzok is one of the people that interviewed General Michael Flynn and then said that the interview, which was an ambush interview at the White House, does not match the illegal wiretap we had on him. And so ergo, he lied. And as a result, he pled guilty to a charge of lying to the FBI. Well, there was a second guy in on the interview. And the funny thing is the FBI doesn't record interviews. They don't videotape them. They take the agents and they say, now, what did he say? And they write it down later, which I think is the most archaic, crazy thing. Well, we are just finding out now that there's this second agent named Joe Pientka. It's going to take a while to learn these names. Nobody's Smith anymore. And he was in the interview, and you think, well, is the reason why, A, we don't know his name, because was he a whistleblower a year and a half ago saying, I think that that Peter Strzok is lying, because I was at that interview, and there was testimony even with James Comey that they don't believe that General Flynn lied. So go, where is this lying charge coming from? And the fact that these guys had to recall things. And I think we're getting very close to this point. And then the media is going to have to try and cover it, but they're going to have to start saying things like, well, you can't expect this Peter Strzok and this Joe Pientka to recall exactly what was said in a meeting with General Flynn, where they expected General Flynn to remember exactly what was said in meetings he had with other people. Can we? Isn't it amazing? They interview this guy, you know, 2 months practically after he has some phone call with a Russian ambassador. And evidently his lying was he didn't recall exactly what was said in this wiretapped conversation. And then they had to write it down. And evidently there are errors there. And I guess we're going to run to the defense of we can't expect them to remember exactly what was said in a meeting that was held a month ago. Can you? It's like, well, that's what we're holding this guy to. It's the whole thing's crazy.
Oh, well, and the good news is that it's almost done, except maybe not.
Either we're set up for the most beautiful political theater of our lifetime, where they're going to unleash all the truth right before the midterms, and one side is going to clean up, and the other side is going to say, we quit. I don't know what's happening. But it's like, can we just get to the bottom of all this? It's getting to be a very complicated story, isn't it?
Boy, yeah. I don't think that we were more interested in Lewis and Clark's hair restorer, I think, than any of what's going on here.
And Stilt Walking, yes.
Yeah, right.
And the new Sylvester Stallone movie, he's going to, yet another franchise. He's going for, I think it's a new Rambo. Yeah, he's making a new Rambo movie. The original one was called Rambo, First Blood, and I think this new one is going to be called Grambo, First Blood Clot, I believe. So they're getting back to the original theme. Yeah, he's going to be in his 70s, and he's making Rambo movies. I think it's Showdown at Shady Acres.
The good news is that there's enough cable channels now that someone will pick that up and run that each weekend. So we'll be able to see that. So
I've already prepaid.
Speaking of long running shows, you're heading to Hartford, right? To do Triple Espresso. We enjoyed, Bill and the gang out there last weekend doing a live show, talking a little bit about it. But you've been in it for 18 years?
I've been doing it for about 18 years, about 3,500 performances. That's where I actually met Bill Arnold. He was doing it in San Diego, and I walked up to him after the show and said, any chance I could have your job? and he said no.
Yeah.
But I persisted. So he actually it's a fantastic story, actually, that he had been in San Diego, was flying home the very next morning, and he had come to San Diego to recruit Southern California magicians to try and find somebody to take over for a new production they had going. And when he was leaving the next morning at 7 a.m. empty-handed, and at 9:30 at night on a Sunday, a guy walks up and says, "You ever looking for other guys to play the magician part?" And that was me. So if you're ever curious about, does God intervene in your life? He does. You just don't know it sometimes for many, many years. And Triple Espresso has been a huge part of God intervening in my life. Just starting with the chance meeting of Bill Arnold. And then Bill said, "You ever seen this book called The Bible?" I'm like, "I've heard of it." And the education began there. So he introduced me to Christ through Triple Espresso. It's just the way it went.
It's a great story, and look forward to catching up with Bill tomorrow. And welcome to Hartford listeners checking us out here, listening in, maybe at 94.1, or you're listening on the app all across Connecticut or wherever you're listening. Glad to have you in. And Patrick Albany's a regular guest each Monday morning. Good to talk with you, Patrick. Safe travels, and we'll catch you again next week.
Thanks, Neil. Talk to you soon.
28 past the hour. Take a little break. We got Ken Davis coming up.
To boldly go where no one has gone before.
That's the walk-up music for Ruth Kramer, executive producer and anchor for Mission Network News. And speaking of going where no one's gone before, we'll make sure that we talk here during our time today at some point this morning about the International Day of Prayer for the unreached, because there are still millions, billions who have yet to hear. It's kind of hard for us to even comprehend or imagine that. But we get to hear with Ruth about what's going on around the globe as God continues to accomplish his purposes. So Ruth, welcome. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back. And man, there's so much stuff to be talking about this morning.
We're going to try and get to a bunch of it. We'll go to Iran and North Korea and more. But maybe just start with an update on Andrew Brunson, the jailed American pastor. Any update there that we can be praying for?
Sure. Well, he had a court hearing on May 7th, and it didn't go quite the direction we were hoping it was going to go. Nothing was actually decided. Some of the witnesses that were brought in for the defense were actually denied their opportunity to testify because they were also suspects in Andrew Brunson's case. Now, Andrew Brunson is an American pastor who'd been serving for a couple of decades in Turkey. There were some false accusations made against him that connected him to the terrorist organization in Turkey. So following the coup a couple of years ago, he was swept up along with a whole bunch of other people and jailed for this. The understanding right now is that Andrew Brunson is more or less a pawn in a political game of chicken between the U.S. and Turkey. Turkey is demanding that the U.S. hand over an Islamic cleric named Fethullah Gulen, who is in the U.S., and they want him to be extradited, essentially, in exchange for releasing Andrew Brunson. Well, because Gulen is not actually in custody, it's not the same thing as having someone in custody where you can extradite someone. So that's a problem. And then secondly, Andrew Brunson has been falsely accused. So it's a fairly well-known kind of a situation that the case is fairly flimsy, even though there are very serious charges against him. Now, in the hearing, there were a lot of people who were sitting there to kind of show their support, whether it was church leaders or different journalists who were sympathetic to Andrew Brunson, or vice chair of the U.S. government on the Commission on International Religious Freedom. All these people were sitting there in support of Andrew Brunson, which was a huge encouragement. But again, the situation was the hearing was delayed, and the next date has been set for July 18th. So not a lot of movement forward. The Christians in Turkey are thankful for the defense that was put forward for the short period that it did happen. But they're asking that people be praying to continue to strengthen Andrew and his family, that they would know God's peace and presence, that it would be very obvious that Andrew's been detained unjustly. The case that was made by the defense lawyer was very strong. They seemed to very clearly lay out the flimsy evidence and the accusations when they had their time in front of the judge. So this being put off seems like it's falling into that political realm of we're going to just hang on to him while we try to negotiate more things. Mm. You know, we do know that 66 members of Congress signed a document that said, we are aware of the situation. We really want you to release him. We are talking about sanctions if nothing comes of this. Not too long ago, maybe a couple of days before the hearing, members of the EU Parliament also signed a similar document. And so there are a number of major governments that are watching this and putting pressure on Turkey. So keep praying. Pray for justice. And pray that Andrew, while he's behind bars, will continue to be a powerful witness for Christ.
You know, false accusations, nothing new. There's another name that people may not be aware of, but you can update on Asia Bibi. Tell me more about that story.
Yeah, Asia Bibi has been, she's sort of the face of the Christian in Pakistan right now. With the blasphemy laws being used kind of willy-nilly, just to settle old scores, or really they're written so broadly that you can have a Muslim look at you sideways and you'll wind up in court and or facing some very severe charges. Because in Pakistan, violation of the blasphemy law, apostasy, it really does carry a death penalty. So her case has been going on since 2009, since her arrest. She's been on death row for a number of years. In 2014, the Supreme Court, the High Court in Lahore, upheld her death sentence, but the execution was stayed by another court a year later. So there have been appeals, and it's just sort of flattened out, and nothing has happened, and it really she just sort of dropped off the radar screen. What we've heard recently is that the Chief Justice of Pakistan has basically said to her attorney that the appeal is going to be set soon. They're going to put it back on the calendar. And this particular Chief Justice is going to preside over the bench. So there's hope that this appeal is going to be heard as early as this summer. There hasn't been an official date. The month of July has been kind of tossed around a couple of different sources, but we don't have anything for sure. Again, keep praying. She's been in jail for a long time. Her health has been deteriorating while she's been behind bars. And yet we've been hearing a lot of things that she has refused to recant her faith behind bars. She has been sharing her story of Christ, and that she is still I don't know how to describe the encouragement that she represents to people like me. We're sitting here talking about her story just to raise awareness and put it in front of people again. And, you know, we're talking about how much she has given up to name the name of Christ. And yet she counts it all as blessing. So it's humbling. And we're asking people to remember her and to keep praying for her, especially with this particular appeal on her death sentence. So, again, let's pray for justice.
A couple of names that we can be specific in our prayers today. Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News with us here in the Early Morning Late Show. We'll take a quick break. There's some bigger issues, maybe broader policy concerns we'll get to regarding faith, the church, and God's kingdom advance. We'll talk a little bit about Iran, North Korea, Malaysia, all that coming up in the moments ahead on the Early Morning Late Show. We're 11 before the hour on the Early Morning Late Show, Monday edition. I'm Neil Stavem, sitting in for Bill Arnold, coming back from Hartford. And good morning to Hartford listeners at 94.1. Glad to have you along. Ruth Kramer from Mission Network News with us as we talk about God's kingdom advance. Wondering, Ruth, and they're, of course, not the same, but a lot of attention on Iran as well as North Korea these days. And I'm wondering how, you know, both the policies, foreign policies, the activities of the president will affect believers in those nations. I don't know if you can combine them, but what's your sense of what's happening for believers there?
Well, I was actually with a group of Iranian believers when this came down, when the decision to pull out of the nuclear deal came down. And there were a couple of different reactions. It was very interesting to watch. Number one, people who are involved in ministry to the Persians, to the Farsi speakers in the diaspora, not necessarily directly in Iran, basically said that things aren't changing much on the ground. So the average person in Iran or connected to Iranian family, really they're not going to see a lot of different things. So it's not going to touch them as much because things are already very difficult because of sanctions. On the other side of things, ministries from the EU and from the United States are going to have to be very careful about how they do ministry because sanctions are changing. It's actually a little bit easier, from what I understand, for ministries connected in Europe and the European Union to do ministry than it is for people in the U.S. now, because the sanctions have tightened so much that you could run afoul of it and not even realize it in some cases. There are a lot of links that are connected on the State Department site, so you can figure out where you need to be in compliance with some of the new sanction issues. A lot of times, just doing things like humanitarian aid and sending Bibles in as educational materials and things like that, all of those things can be done still, but you have to ask for the exemptions and you just have to do your research. So really, the bottom line is ministry is still going to go forward. The gospel won't be stopped. Things are changing. Christians are a little bit concerned because sometimes in situations like this, minorities and Christians, the religious minorities, are used as scapegoats because they're accused of sabotaging Iranian interests and kind of accused as being spies for the West. So there will be pressure. But again, God's word is still going to go forward. And the overall feel that I got from talking to these ministries is that this was not necessarily a thing that they wanted to have happen. However, it's not going to stop them. They're just going to be a little bit more creative in how they're doing things and trying to keep up on top of the new regulations. So if you're praying for Iran, this is one of those things that resonates with you. Pray that the hearts of the people will still be open to the gospel because they are right now really curious. They're searching and they're looking for truth. Ramadan's coming up, so this is the opportune time for things like this to happen. So ask God to reveal himself continuously to the Farsi speakers and pray for creativity on those on behalf of the ministries.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Ramadan, it starts with Tuesday sundown, I think, and runs for the month. I mean, that is a time where what's serious Muslims, or maybe even those that aren't serious about their faith, are at least thinking more inclined to think spiritual things, right? So it should be an opportunity for us to pray that God will reveal himself.
Yeah, you know, Ramadan is Muslim, but it really is the time where people are seeking the face of God. And this is, you know, this period of time, we hear a lot about a rise in persecution because the extremists tend to use this period as a kind of religious fervor and things like that. But we are also hearing corresponding cases of dreams and visions and people coming to Christ and then seeking discipleship. So there are a lot of opportunities here. I want to encourage your listeners to be to join the Ramadan Prayer Challenge. Our sister ministry is prayercast.com, and they have what's called the Prayercast Ramadan Prayer Challenge. And you'll find it at prayercast.com/Ramadan. It's what they'll do is they'll send you a text message every single day about a specific topic to be praying through. And it's just you can see some of the videos that are connected with that so that you get a feel for the face and the people and the countries that we're talking about here. And it's really loving and lifting up the representative nations in prayer. And we can do this together as a body of Christ to pray for the 1.8 billion Muslims that Jesus Christ died to save.
Yeah. You know, it's hard for us to comprehend that there are so many that have still not heard the name of Jesus coming up here on the 20th, the International Day of Prayer for the Unreached. Say a bit more about this important day as we continue talking about prayer.
Yeah, well, this is something that, you know, just because of the sheer numbers, they're overwhelming. I'm just going to boil it down to, yes, there are billions of people who are still unreached, who have never heard the name of Jesus. Let's take that down even further and just look at it as 70,000 people die every day without Christ. But we can do something about that. We live in North America, and we are one of the best resourced bodies of Christ in the world to do something about this. But a lot of people don't because they don't know. So the International Day for the Unreached is designed to educate, to inspire, and to motivate the believers of North America to take a stand on behalf of those who have yet to hear the good news of Christ. When you look at how much yet there is to do and how much you can do as a single person on behalf of that, there's something you can do, and it's actually very exciting when you see that your two cents, your widow's mite, your iteration here can actually have an impact on someone clear across the world that you may never meet until you get to heaven. So I just want to encourage people to remember that the International Day for the Unreached is actually going to be on Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, because of the things that Pentecost Sunday represents in terms of taking the gospel out and just kind of throwing it out to all the entire world. We do have a live event coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, that's 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 5 Pacific, that we're going to be doing. You'll be able to catch that on the website, which is dayfortheunreached.org, and also on Facebook. They're going to do a webcast on that. And it's just going to be kind of talking through testimonies. We're going to be talking through a little bit more of what we're doing and why we care about something like this, and encourage people to get involved. There are ways to do something about this and take some of those numbers down, even by one. So I just want to encourage you to be thinking about that. We're going to be praying about things, and there's a lot of worship involved with it, too.
Good. Dayfortheunreached.org, the website to check, as well as the focus on praying during Ramadan. That's prayercast.com. So a couple of websites to check out. And of course, you can always go to MNNOnline.org for more. Ruth Kramer is executive producer and anchor for Mission Network News and a regular guest here in the Early Morning Late Show. Ruth, always good to talk with you. Blessings to you. Have a great week.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're listening to the Early Morning Late Show, and we'll wrap up Hour 1 here in just a moment.
If you're picking up drive-through coffee this morning on your way to work, tell them Bill says hi, and make mine a double. The Early Morning Late Show on Faith Radio.
All right, a great hour to get us started this morning. Faith, Hope, and Clarity, what the Early Morning Late Show is all about. I'm Neil Stabe. I'm sitting in for Bill Arnold, who's traveling today. Be back tomorrow, and spent some great time in Hartford last week. And so a special welcome to folks listening in Hartford, or wherever you might be listening on the Faith Radio app. Of course, you can get the app anytime and download the Faith Radio app. Start enjoying great programs you love. And we've got more coming up in the next hour. Dr. Linda Mental joining us. I love my mother, but title of one of her great books. We'll reflect on it after Mother's Day. Plus, Dr. Richard Land will reflect on the 70th anniversary of the modern state of Israel. That's all coming up in hour two of the Early Morning Late Show. Looking forward to sharing it with you just ahead.